There are certain things in life you can't be without. Front row seats to a Bruce Springsteen concert, a best-selling novel from Oprah's book club, and Randy Furman's brownies. Hello, everyone. I'm Lauren Leibowitz, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio and How to Be Comfortable in Your Own Shoes. It's Thursday, November 3rd, and once again, we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, as we do all the time from beautiful, sunny Southern California. Today is no exception. Thank you so much for joining us. We'd love to hear from you, so please call in to listen live or ask questions at 347-857-2710. Those 10 fun digits are 347-857-2710. You're going to want to call in because we're going to have some information you want to get your hands on. You can also email us here at goodvibeexperience@gmail.com. So let's get started. My guest today has so many wonderful things to share, and they're all for the lips and not for the hips. So this is very exciting. With over 40 years of experience, my guest is recognized as one of the country's leading event producers. With his bold personality and unique cooking style, he produces and caters special events for Hollywood's A-list celebrities, including Robin Williams, Johnny Travolta, and little Stevie Spielberg. So all of you foodies, gather around and give me some help in welcoming my special guest today, Randy Furman. Hi, Randy.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm fabulous. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. You made me smile the whole time I was listening to you.
Excellent. My work is done.
You're okay. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So, you know, I guess I want to talk about everything about Randy, but you really have to tell our listeners about your brownies. They are to die for. I have died and returned to life many times, so tell us more about them.
It's interesting. We're just getting ready to put a new website up. We were hoping to have it ready before your show, but it looks like it's going to be ready either tonight or hopefully by tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And then within a week, we're launching a whole new website for Randy's Brownies and Desserts. I've changed it from Brownies and Cakes to Brownies and Desserts because I'm getting very well known for my cupcakes and kind of some things along that line. And now that the holidays are coming up, this is just such perfect timing because I ship all over the country. And I even started doing a couple of interesting things. Like for the holidays, I'll do my Santa's Saint Nick's favorite. It's a candy cane brownie, that has I crush up candy canes and put it on top, so you can't have bad
teeth. Stop! I'm dying already.
Yeah, if your teeth are not good, you don't eat those. Those are not the ones you eat. You have to eat something more like a joyful almond or something along that line.
Oh, or your macadamia.
My macadamia rum banana coconut. But right now what I'm doing for the holidays at this point, I've kind of narrowed it down to four, and if someone wants to order a sheet, I can ship that out. But I'm doing the white chocolate raspberry. I'm doing the joyful almond, Butterfinger, and dark chocolate Snickers. And I'll probably throw in Kona coffee also.
Oh, my God. I better start my workout program now.
Well, you should have done that before you even talked to me.
You're right.
You knew better. You should have preempted this whole thing by working out for half an hour.
I know. I forgot this was a high caloric conversation.
Oh, anyway.
But worth every calorie. Worth it. Are you kidding?
Well, thank you.
I'm serious. You know, people who, I don't know, there's always that interesting notion. Are you one of those people that eat to live or live to eat? I live to eat. Come on. There's nothing like great food, period.
I just eat.
You just eat?
Eat. It's capital E-A-T. I eat. So
eat. So
I'm
what are
a grazer.
What are your favorite things to eat and cook?
Well, cooking, I love doing everything. There isn't anything like I'm getting ready. Nelson Mandela's grandson's coming into town in a week, and I'm going to be doing all Moroccan food, which I'm doing kind of chicken thighs and actually, they really call for dark meat in most of the recipes. I'm doing breasts also for the diehard white meat people. But with bitter lemon and green olives, and I'm doing then a couscous, and then I came up with a kind of my version of a salad that's going to be romaine greens with pomegranate seeds, chopped dates, with a pomegranate date molasses, balsamic dressing, and something, you know, something along that line. Then I'm going to do all the very, kind of like Dharma Grab that does those platters of fabulous vegetables, which is the eggplant and then the tomatoes and cucumbers, and then the carrots with cumin and cilantro.
Are there going to be dancers, too?
No, you know what? I'm not. This one, I'm just doing the food. I don't know what's in store for me. I mean, I'm doing it at Dana Devon's house, so I know it'll be, you know, great because I've worked for Dana for probably 5 years now. She used to be one of the hosts on Extra.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I mean, I'm just, my favorite food is Szechuan and Mexican food. Those are my two favorites. I mean,
really?
Absolutely. I could eat Szechuan food every day.
Doesn't that get a little...
Never.
Really?
Never.
Is it the spice? What do you like most about it?
I just, you know, I'm trying to decipher what my attachment is to food. I love crunchy food. I mean, that's why I eat all the wrong things, because I love, you know, chips, but I'm trying to go to celery now. it does sound the same as I'm chewing on it, but it just, you know. I just love the flavors. It doesn't have to be spicy. I like well-seasoned, not highly seasoned or highly spiced. I like food that you can, each one holds its own. But I've been going to my favorite restaurant downtown called Chinese Friends for over 20, almost 30 years now. And I used to go, when I lived in a loft downtown, I'd go 4 or 5 times a week because it was easier than cooking.
And Chinese Friends.
On North Broadway.
Well, I'll have to try that.
It's amazing. And if you go down there, tell them that you're a friend of mine. And the house special shrimp is killer, and their spicy eggplant. And I order spicy eggplant, house special shrimps, beef and scallops, and mushu chicken without the pancakes. I don't need, you know,
There's no crunch in pancakes.
Well, no, but I also, what's so funny is I don't eat the rice either. I really kind of eat it just in the bowl, and I don't even do the rice.
And you call yourself a lover of Chinese food?
Well, but I don't, you see, you know, it's so funny. I'll eat a potato before I'll eat rice. So.
Well, you know what? It doesn't matter. Starch is starch. You know,
yeah,
but
if I'm going to pick it, I want something. I'm not even a pasta. I mean, I cook all sorts of pastas. But pasta, I mean, I'm a potato boy, you know, and I'm not even a Midwesterner. I'm a Californian boy.
Well, they're California potatoes.
No, I know that, but normally you think of meat and potatoes from somebody from the Midwest, not California.
Exactly. Wow. Well, that sounds very exciting, your little Moroccan theme. But you're so versatile. You can do any themes with cooking. What is the most challenging? What was one of the most challenging themes you had to create?
Well, it's interesting. I just did 2 weeks ago for the guys that own VEEV, the IKEA Berry Liqueur. I just did a Barbie and Ken party for 400 people. So
I would have loved to have gone.
Everybody came, all the adults, there were no children, all the adults came as Barbie and Ken. And it was amazing. So I did it like Barbie's house. I had all pink furniture, and I went out and got rugs and designed everything, and then I blew up Barbie and Ken and superimposed the birthday boy's face onto Ken's body and had, like, balloons over, you know, like cartoon balloons over it and where they were talking to each other. Barbie was asking Carter, he goes, "Carter, are you trying to get me drunk?" "Oh, have another Viv Martini, Barbie." You know,
a whole new spin to Barbie and Ken.
Yeah, really. So it was, I mean, it was an amazing party. Like, actually, I didn't stay to the end. I heard the police came at 1:30 to shut it down, so that's always successful.
Well, hey, you know, that could have made the news. Police shut down
Barbie
and Ken.
Barbie and Ken, right. Well, I don't know they actually knew it was Barbie and Ken's house, so.
So what kind of food goes with the Barbie and Ken theme?
Well, actually, I didn't get to do the food. I'm really multifaceted. I only did the decor for that. So I brought everything in and designed the lighting, decor, all of that. But they had Fatburger.
Interesting.
That was it. That was all they had. I went out and bought munchies because I said you can't. You know, it's different. Age groups are a little different. They're a little younger. They don't. It's more about the party than it is about the food. And I said, well, you kind of have to put something out. So I went out and got Barbie lunch pails, and I filled them with carrots and tomatoes. But then I had, you know, peanuts and M&Ms. I did hot pink and turquoise blue M&Ms. and so kind of did things and put it all around the furniture. So there was something to munch on if they wanted something to eat before the actual food started.
That's an interesting discussion to have about the difference between food and alcohol and how much to put out of both, depending on, you know, sometimes it varies with cultures, it varies with religions.
Totally.
It varies with, so how do you handle that with a particular customer?
Well, you know, for them, they're serving their brand, but they had other things. Everything was done around their brand. But it's so funny, if you go to my Facebook page of Randy Furman Events, I actually have two YouTube videos up, and one deals with actually a whole liquor segment, which I talk about that people have the misconception that doing beer and wine is going to be cheaper than doing hard liquor, and it's not. If you're doing a good bottle of liquor, which is anywhere between $18 and $30 a bottle, you only get 5 glasses out of a bottle. But if you're doing a large bottle of hard liquor, you get 20, anywhere from 26 to 30, depending on how you pour. So when you amortize it, you find out you're actually spending almost 2.5 times more for your wine, and people think that they're going to save money. And especially if you add sparkling wine or champagne to it. So I tell people if they're looking to be kind of budget conscious that they do a signature drink, something that matches what the event is, and just do one drink, and that's the drink that's for the evening, and then they can do other things around it. But that's a good way to home in your budget and not having to spend, you know, normally a bar, if you do it yourself, runs anywhere between $8 and $50 a person, but depending on what type of wines and champagne and heart, and what type of top shelf, if you're doing top shelf, what you're doing. And it's just, you know, it's a couple things that people don't know. I mean,
well, I think people also feel that if you have hard liquor, that means a bartender. So if you have beer and wine, maybe you can cut the cost of having somebody, you know, one server.
That's very true. But again, make sure it's set up so it's easy access for your guests. Making sure, again, for me, it's placing things in the right place. Not putting a bar 5 feet or 10 feet, you know, right after you walk in. Put the bar. I like putting a bar almost the furthest point from the front door, so people have to come into the vent all the way in and get out of the front area where it gets congested when people are coming in. Those are just the little things I think about for traffic flow and making it easier and honoring the guests that are going to be there.
Yes. You know, you're right. You're right with the one theme cocktail. I was at a party and someone had a beer and wine, but one themed cocktail, and that themed cocktail was most popular. It seems that people want hard liquor more so than wine at a party.
I think that really varies with age group. You know, if it's a young crowd, if it's in the, you know, 20s, 30s, absolutely. They're not a one cocktail crowd. But as you get into your generations after that, they're a little bit easier to appease than your youth that wants to know, how come we don't have an open bar?
And who's paying for it?
Well, they don't care who pays for it. They just want an open bar. That's all that matters.
Yeah, it's amazing. Gosh, I can't go back that far when drinking when it was an open sieve. You know, that was a while ago. Anyway, but now that the holidays are coming, Thanksgiving is just about 3 weeks away. What fun and exciting things are you planning for Thanksgiving?
Well, actually, I'm going to be on the Rick Dees Show next week. I'm going to be doing a whole thing. Mrs. Cubbinson has approached me again. This is my fifth year with them, and I'm going to be doing a whole Thanksgiving dinner on air for Rick.
Oh,
and Rick,
cool.
And Rick's a real sweet freak, so I bring my brownies in. He hasn't tasted my cupcakes yet, so I'm going to dazzle him with my cupcakes. Thanksgiving seems a little quiet so far. I mean, I just had a couple of calls. I'm waiting to see what's going to happen. Normally, Thanksgiving for me is the most important time of the year, and it's one of the biggest holidays. When I used to have a loft, I had an 8,000-square-foot loft downtown, I would have 60 to 80 people, and I would do all the cooking. I wouldn't let anybody bring anything because I'm really spoiled. That's one of my meals that has to be killer from beginning to end. And I don't want dry stuffing. I don't want mashed potatoes that are instant. You know, I want great sweet potatoes with macadamia nuts and apricots. You know, so I'm very spoiled when it comes to Thanksgiving.
So let's talk about the turkey. Maybe you can give us some tips on how to keep a moist bird.
Well, what's funny about that is that I undercook my bird. I cook it with carrots, celery, and onions inside. I use a combination of butter. I use butter, a little bit of Crisco, paprika, garlic, salt, and pepper, and I bathe the bird in it. And I undercook it because what I do is then I cool it and I slice it, and then I take all the juices and carrots and celery and I put them into a stock pot and boil them and take some of the meat and some of the skin and everything from carving, because I like carving everything ahead of time so I don't have to do it with a guest.
Mm-hmm.
But what I do is I take a dish towel and I put a little bit of sherry and a little bit of the drippings from the turkey, and I put it over the turkey, and then I rewarm the turkey to bring it up to being hot. And the turkey is moist every single time, and it's got amazing flavor because you're using the drippings from the turkey and just a touch. I'm not saying put 2 cups of sherry on the towel. I'm saying, you know, maybe a 1/4 cup, sprinkling it on, and then sprinkle your drippings from the turkey.
Wow. You know, I think turkey brought our foodies to the surface, and we have a caller here. So let's see who's joining us today.
Okay.
Hello, you're on with Randy Furman. Who are we talking to?
Hi, my name's Rachel. How are you?
Good, Rachel. How are you? You have a question for Randy?
I do. Randy, this is such a fun conversation. I loved hearing about the Barbie party. It's so cool.
Thanks.
I just went to randyfurmanevents.com, and I saw that you do weddings, and everyone is talking about the extravagant Kardashian wedding. And I just wanted to find out if you could give us some tips on planning a beautiful wedding on a budget.
Well, sure. I mean, first of all, I love that what I try to do to get my brides to help them is actually have them do a vision board, which helps them immensely home in what their fantasy wedding is. And then we try to prioritize it, because normally food is the last thing that happens for the wedding, as much as it's such an important thing for me. Because all the things you need, from your invitation to your flowers to the look, the decor, all the finite details, all have to be priced out first, and then we have to see what we have left for food. And if we have nothing left for food, then we have to decide what the bride's willing to give up, which is normally not too much. And what's kind of fun is a lot of times I have the in-laws approach me on the side and say, don't tell them anything, I'm giving you another $5,000 to work with. Weddings are a tough one because people have this, again, a misconception doing it at home is going to save them money, and normally it doesn't. Doing it at home probably costs you 1 to 2 times more because everything's a separate entity compared to going to a hotel where they're going to give you a bottom line of $125 to $175 or $200 a person. Where the hotel's going to take advantage of you is basically your liquor. You can't really reel them in liquor-wise, and you don't know what the real truth is of how much liquor is being drunk or drinking or drink.
Or imbibed or abused.
Thank you, imbibed, thank you, much better. How much they've imbibed. But, you know, there's not anything, you shouldn't be afraid of color, style. It's really what your vision or passion is of the way your day should be. And if it's purple and lime green, then no one should stop you for having exactly what you need or want.
Well, that sounds great. It sounds like you really think about the bride's personality when you're creating the wedding, and it just sounds so magical.
Well, thanks. Yeah, we're going to start doing, hopefully right after the beginning of the year, we'll be doing a class for brides that we will then do vision boards. We'll teach them how to do a vision board. I'll bring a few speakers in and actually set up the whole arena for them. I'll do a luncheon for them also so they can taste the food and kind of give them some guidance of how to start planning their wedding to make it a little bit easier, because it's not too difficult to become a bridezilla pretty quickly if you don't have the tools to know what you need or what you should be doing.
That sounds great. I'll check randyfurmanevents.com and look for news and updates on that class.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you so
much.
Thank
you, Rachel.
Thanks, Rachel.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
I mean, that was an interesting question about the Kardashian wedding. What do you think of all the tumult that happened over there?
Well, to me, I think it's fabulous you can spend $2 million on a wedding. I mean, you know, but again, in this day and age, I don't know that there's going to be a backlash. I think it's going to be a mixed thing. Some people are going to be sympathetic to her, but like I was listening on the radio, I can't remember who was saying it, but they said, you know, It was Kathy Lee Gifford on the morning show. She had said, she heard Kim say that, you know, well, after I really thought about it and everything, I really thought that this wasn't the right thing. And Kathy said, well, don't you think you should have thought about it before you went down the aisle, not after you've already done it all, and now you're really thinking about whether this was the right thing to do or not? So, I mean, I've done some really high-end weddings, where it's been about $500,000. But in the long run, when somebody has a name, they get taken advantage of also.
Yeah, but
I don't
she didn't
do that.
Pay for it. She had all these advertisers.
Well, but she still, trust me, even though she got paid close to, I think, $1 million or plus from all the stories, she still had to pay for a lot of stuff. People didn't do it for free. You know, people in this economy can't afford to. She can get sponsors, you know, maybe her liquor or things like that, but I'm sure that they spent at least $500,000 to $1 million on their own for everything they did, because the rentals weren't given to them, trust me. The rental companies won't do that.
It's how has the economy affected your industry on that level?
I think it's just breaking open. I see that there's a lot of new things happening. About a month and a half ago, Oprah's people called me through a referral through my Town and Country, my rental company, which was really sweet. And I did something within 4 days for 70 people, and which was amazing. And what I heard from the guests was this young producer had 3 events in this house, and it was the best food, the best decor, the best staff, the best feeling of any event they had there, which I was so pleased about, because, again, only having 4 days where I did everything from, you know, valet parking to the flowers to the decor, all of it, entertainment. And, again, I'm more of a problem solver than a problem maker. I won't tell you, well, you know, it's only 4 days away. What are you going to do? I say, okay, well, let's go over everything, and I'll get on, you know, I'll start running, and we'll get it all done. Even the day of, she asked me 2 hours, probably an hour and a half beforehand, she forgot that 3 of her closest friends, it was their birthday, and she wanted, like, Sweet Lady Jane cakes, which would be impossible to get from Sweet Lady Jane, but Ralph's now carries Sweet Lady Jane cakes in their cases.
Are you serious? Really?
Yeah, yeah. Like, certain ones, the one on Sunset does. So I went there, I picked up 3 cakes, had their birthday names put on it. She also decided she wanted candles. I went to every 99-cent store I could go to in a 2-mile radius and picked up like 150, 200 candles and did it, you know, and just there was no, well, it's a little late or didn't you think of this ahead of time, and just do it. Because that's my whole thing. It's about really letting the client have an amazing time and an experience for them. And whatever it might be, we just have to roll with the punches and make it work.
Well, that's what makes you better than a lot of other your contemporaries in your field, because it's about creating the need or giving the customer what they want, and how you go about doing it, they don't care. They just want it done.
Very true.
So
they don't want to know the process.
They don't care about the process. They want it yesterday.
They want the end result.
They want the end results. Sure. So tell us more. Randy Furman Events offers more than just the fabulous Randy Furman and his
right. I mean, I have a great team. Without my team, I can't be who I am. Without my staff and without people that support me, I can only be as good as the people that are my foundation and allow me to be as creative as I am. We're just getting ready to do something for Showtime. It's for the AIDS Alliance, and I'm going to do all the decor for it. I'm not doing food because it's at the Beverly Hilton. And then we just landed the L.A. Chamber for 1,400 people for their awards banquet, and I'm kind of doing something really interesting. Again, it's only decor, but I'm doing the whole ballroom, the foyer. I've created a real feeling of going into the future. Have you been down to the new Marriott downtown?
A little bit, yes.
Do you remember the rug at all? The rug that looks like kind of George Jetson? It's kind of blood red, burnt orange,
and
gold.
Right, uh-huh.
So I kind of played off of that. I'm going to use kind of pillars and create it like arriving at the L.A. airport, except I'm using a star curtain that's going to look like you're traveling through the galaxy as you come into the event. So So kind of making it like you're traveling into the future with LA Chamber.
You know what you do? I just got a hit. You, and this is what's so interesting when people buy anything, you create an experience.
Thank you. I do. I love it. I'm an adult child, so I get to play every day, and that's what's really important to me, because if I'm not having a good time, it doesn't work for me.
Well, it's like only as an example, the Tiffany box or what people have been talking about, the iPhone, no matter what version you have of it, how it's packaged,
mm-hmm.
that when you're so excited to get the product, but the unwrapping of that package enhances what's inside. So like you create this picture of something wonderful about to take place, happens prior to you getting there.
Well,
entering the room, whatever you do with decor, and then you set up with music, and, the food is kind of like the last thing, because people go, oh, my God, this is a fabulous experience. I'm like, what's going to happen next?
I think the most important thing is how you present it to begin with. I think the invitation is extremely important, and you have to give them all the knowledge. If it's going to be outdoors, letting them know it's outdoors so women don't come in a cocktail dress with no wrap, and then they're miserable because there's not enough heaters. If it's a garden party, letting people know so they aren't wearing their expensive shoes that they're aerating the lawn with. It's all about giving all the details of, just like this, the Mandela party I'm doing, I said make sure you tell them really clearly, because it's during the week, what time it starts, what time your cocktails will be, what time dinner is going to be, and what time it's ending. So you don't leave it open-ended, because I feel that in an invitation, if you lay it all out, and it's exact, and people can't beat you up or make you wrong in saying, no one ever told me.
Okay,
and
let me ask you an interesting question.
Sure.
About giving a time of a party. If if you give the time of your party is, let's say, from 8 to 11, 8 p.m. to 11 p.m.,
mm-hmm.
does that mean that people can come at any time between 8 and 11?
Or
it starts at 8 and ends at 11?
Well, if you don't give them a timeline of what's going on, if you say it's an open house from 8 to 11, yes, that means they can come any time. But if you say it's from 8 to 11, but at 8:45 we're serving dinner, that means that 10:45 they shouldn't walk in and expect that they're going to get a meal.
Right.
See what I'm saying? Because I'm telling you at 8:45 we're serving dinner.
Right.
So an hour after that, you should be understanding that it's not going to be the same thing for you to get it fed.
I don't know, because I always experience people, when you give them a time, it's a time when they can come, not necessarily the time of the event.
Well,
do you find that?
Yes. In California, yes. It's very laid back, and people, definitely have a whole different attitude about what time they show up. But I've learned that if I do a dinner party, I will let people know I'm serving a certain time, and I will serve at that time. And if you, especially if I'm doing a seated dinner, and if you don't show up at the time that's been requested, then you don't start with us. The rest of the people that are, why should they be penalized for showing up on time, and then we have to wait for one person to start our dinner? That's
exactly
just the way I've been.
Exactly. I must say, we've run out of time, and I'm really hungry, because you have just described so much deliciousness, and my plate is not full here at all. But I want to give out your contact information to all our lovely listeners.
Great. With the new website going up, we'll probably have some recipes also, so they can look for some holiday recipes, too.
Excellent. That's a wonderful, wonderful offering. So it's randyfurmanevents.com, FURMANRANDY. FURMANEvents.com and randysbrownies.com. And for those people that like to do the dialing, it's 310-854-0155. Randy, it's always a pleasure. It's
You're
delicious
such a doll.
Having
Thank
you on.
You so much.
You're quite welcome. Good
and
luck with
that. And have a great holiday season. If there's anything I can help you with, just call me.
Call me. You are my go-to guy.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Randy.
All right, sweetheart. Thanks.
Once again, I want to give a big thanks to Randy Furman and at randyfurmanevents.com, 310-854-0155. Join me next time for another wild and crazy journey in someone else's shoes, as my guest will be award-winning architectural conservator, designer, and author of Soul Space, Zoran Balbus. This is Lauren Leibowitz, and thank you so much for joining me and listening to How to Be Comfortable in Your Own Shoes. We'll see you next time, and I look forward to helping you find comfort in your own shoes. We'll leave you with Flight of the Monarchs by Keith Chagall.